You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 32. I do want to express my gratitude for the privilege of being with you. I am humbled and honored at this privilege, and it is an honor. I know that there are thousands of Baptist preachers that you could have asked to have come, and I feel so humbled to be given the invitation to come and to be a part of this camp meeting. I do rejoice in what God has done in the years of the past, and we're expecting God to do great things for us during these days. And as Dr. McAbee said, I do want to praise the Lord also for cooling the weather down. When I got on I-85 at Gastonia, it was 96. When I got to Gaffney, it was 76. And I thought about Psalm 99:6, Moses and Aaron, his priest, and Samuel called on the Lord, and he heard them. I'm not a Moses, I'm not a Samuel, or Elijah, but I'm a man of like passions. And I'm grateful that when we pray, that we have the promise that the Lord will hear us. And I know that you prayed to that end, and we want to publicly praise the Lord for answering our prayers. Thank you so much again for allowing me to be here. And I do pray that God will give us days of not just camp meeting, but days of revival and days of refreshing, and that we will be different when we leave this place. Acts chapter 13, verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid into his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. We come first, ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us of every sin. I pray that you'll search us, try us. See if there be any wicked way in us, cleanse us of it. Lead us in the way everlasting. Thank you for this day, for all the blessings, the mercies, the opportunities of it. For the privilege to be under this tabernacle, we're grateful. Thank you for the songs that have been sung. Thank you for these that are here, for these dear men of God, for every church that's represented. And I pray, Lord, that these will be days when the people of God are encouraged and the Lord Jesus shall be exalted and magnified. We're conscious, Lord, that we need a visitation from on high. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee, and as a result, sinners shall be converted. I pray now that you'll be pleased to touch thy servant. Give us that special anointing. Illuminate our mind, loose our tongue, and may the word of God go forth in its power. All that you're pleased to do for us, through us and in us, we will give you the praise. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed, blood-stained Redeemer, we humbly pray. Amen. You notice in the scripture that I read, especially verse number 36, For David, after he'd served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption. I want to speak to you about serving God in your own generation. David said in Psalm 16, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. David was not speaking of himself, but as Peter tells us in Acts chapter 2, David was speaking concerning him. That is of the Lord Jesus. whom God hath raised up from the having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it. And here again in Antioch, as Paul was preaching, says that David's body saw corruption, but the body of the Lord Jesus saw no corruption. Thine Holy One shall see no corruption. The Lord Jesus was died and laid in the grave, but he rose again on the third day. Now, of course, in that Middle Eastern climate, lying for 3 days, his body had plenty of time to decay. The perfume spices would have lived in the odor of corruption, but nevertheless, those spices would not have prevented the process of decay, except that Christ saw no corruption. His body saw no corruption, for that body was a holy thing, and no taint of sin ever came to the body of our Lord, and therefore no corruption. The psalmist said, thou preparest for him a body. His body was a special body. The Lord Jesus condescended to the confines of the womb of the Virgin Mary, and the immortal blended with mortality, and God became man, wrapped up in human flesh, living that body 33 and a half years, took that body, hung it between heaven and earth, paid our debt of sin, and rose again the third day with the keys of death and hell, a living, risen, reigning Lord. As we think about David serving God in his own generation, I do remind you that there is a generation that will be alive when Christ shall return. And I think that it is very possible, and not only possible, but it is very likely that the responsibility of living in the last generation that will strut across planet Earth prior to the coming of the Lord has fallen upon us. It is our responsibility to seek God and to serve God in our generation. I do believe that it's the responsibility of every local church to pray for revival until Jesus shall come. I'm well aware that perilous times shall come, and they're already upon us to large measure. As a matter of fact, if these are not perilous times, I don't think I want to be around when they get here. But in spite of that, it is our responsibility to pray for revival until Jesus shall come. It is our responsibility to seek God for our day. I am grateful for those that have preceded us, those that sought God in their generation and served God faithfully in their generation. But I remind you that it is our responsibility to seek God for our day. It was my privilege many years ago to visit the church where Robert Mary McShane pastored in Dundee, Scotland. Robert Mary McShane died when he was just 29 or maybe 30 years old. It was my privilege to sit in the study of the vestige, it's called, where Robert McShane waited in the presence of the Lord. And sometimes when McShane would come out before his congregation, his face would be so aglow with the glory of God that the congregation would literally break down and weep, and they experienced great revival. The day that I visited the church, one man was there doing some work, told me that the church where McShane had pastored, that church and another church up the street, had combined together to join churches, and on a good day, they averaged about 30 people. It was my privilege, and has been my privilege several times, to visit the Mount Moriah Chapel in Swansea, Wales, where the great revival, Welsh revival started, or at least came into fruition under the ministry of Evan Roberts. One day that I was there, I was told that about 15 people gathered on the Lord's Day to worship at the Mount Moriah Chapel. And as I was leaving the church, a girl who lived next door, a teenager, I asked her if she'd ever heard about the great Welsh revival. And she asked me, what is revival? And I had to try to explain to her what revival is. I am grateful for Robert Mary McShane. I am grateful for Evan Roberts, who sought God in their day. But it is our responsibility to seek God in our generation. I am grateful for Charles Haddon Spurgeon. It is our responsibility to seek God for our day. I am grateful for those great men of God even before us in this nation who blazed the trail before us and are now safe in the arms of Jesus. I think about many of my dear friends and Brother Ed. Many of our old buddies are safe with the Lord tonight. And we miss them greatly. And we rejoice in their labors. But God has left you and I on this earth. And it is our responsibility to seek God for this generation. No matter how great the apostasy. No matter how great the darkness. It is our responsibility to seek God for our generation. They even served God well in his own generation. And it is our responsibility to seek God for our day. Now you know the reality of it. The reality of it. How we can serve God and how can we serve God should interest and should excite us. Our citizenship is in heaven. And yet we are pilgrims and strangers on this earth. And it is our responsibility and our privilege to be a witness of God and for God and a worshiper of God in our generation. David served God in his generation faithfully. He served God as a shepherd. He served God as a singer. He served God as a soldier. And he served God as the sovereign king of Israel from the days of his youth until God took him home. He served God. We serve our generation when God is honored. Now David's real concern was the honor and the glory of God. Nothing else seemed to matter. David committed some terrible sins. It is true. He even committed the sin of adultery. He committed the sin of the murder of Uriah. And yet this book says that he was a man after God's own heart. It was David who said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so does my soul thirst after thee, after the living God. Sin cursed him. Sin conquered him. But David repented and got up again. His heart was for God. Now there's the kind of self-righteous person, of course, that would never commit such outward sins. But their heart is like stone. And they seem incapable of repentance. And God can do nothing with such hard-heartedness. I have noticed through the years, in the places where I preached, and the place where I pastor, that usually those people who are first at the altar are those whom I think are the closest to God. David committed some terrible sins, but he repented. He got right with God because his heart beat after God and for God. Read Psalm 51. David describes himself as feeling as if every bone in his body had been broken because of sin. He repented. He abhorred his sin. David's heart was for God. Now when Nathan rebuked David for his sins, David repented. David, after all, could have killed Samuel. And he surely did not have to repent except that he had a heart for God. But David didn't either, as far as killing Nathan or ignoring Nathan. He repented, evident that his heart was after God. We do not serve God in our generation when we're enslaved with habits, when we're enslaved with customs and to its sins. The truth of God does not change. We hear a lot today about the culture being different. And it may be different, but of course, in reality, it's not different. It is pure old sin, dressed in different garments, Sin is sin, no matter what you call it. And it is our responsibility to preach the holiness and the righteousness of God to an unholy generation. The truth of God does not change. Now there's one thing about the truth of God's Word. You may bury it, but it will arise again. The truth of God marches on. And God is going to judge this world by that man whom hath ordained, he that hath raised him from the dead. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. The gospel does not change because God gave it. Matthew, keep up with the philosophies, the ideologies, and the thinking of your day. Your message will change often. A brother, Brother Maccabee, has been preaching for 60 years, I understand, if I understood rightly. And the Lord willing, next May I will have been preaching 50 years. And I thought, if I changed my message during those years, it would be untelling what I'd be preaching tonight. And the same is true of Dr. Maccabee. But Dr. Maccabee preaches the same message tonight. He does with the first time I heard him. And Brother Clifford and these other men of God, because the Word does not change. The gospel does not change. Now we are told that we have changed the methods, but not the message. I do not believe that you can change the methods without actually changing the message. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and it will get the job done. I mean, it doesn't make any difference if a person of high IQ drops a bomb or an idiot drops a bomb. It'll still go off. It'll still have the same results. And so it is of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel does not change. David had great faults in his later life, but he never swerved his allegiance from God. Nothing close to idolatry or blasphemy ever came from David's lips. He never tried to please the heathen of his day. Psalm 8:3, David said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" It was David who said, I'm talking about a man after God's own heart. It was that man who said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restoreth my soul." It was David who said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." Sounds to me like he loved to go to church. David said in Psalm chapter 40, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he put a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." It was David who said, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." It was David who said, "I'm going to stray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." David served God in his own generation for the glory and the honor of God, because his heart was for God and after God. He sought God, he followed God, and he served God well in his own generation. We serve our generation when others are helped. David said, "I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." No one that has experienced the saving power of God can hide it. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. And if salvation don't ever get out on you, I'm afraid it never got in you. If God has done a work of grace and salvation in your heart, it will show up in your life, in your conversation. If any man be in Christ, he's become a new creature. The former things are passed away, and all things have become new. The message is the same. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord. A people in every age, past and present, people of all races, of every nationality, need the same gospel. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. And when I come to die, the only hope that I can base the assurance of my salvation on is not that I'm a Baptist. I am a Baptist by conviction, but I'm a Christian by conversion. And I cannot base my salvation on the fact that I've been privileged to preach the glorious gospel. But when the death dew is on my lips, and my brow the only song that can be in my heart is, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. All that I am and all that ever shall be, out of the grace of God. The method is the same. For after than the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those which believe. Now, some time ago I was in a meeting, and they called on a man to pray, and I think he meant it in a good way. But he was praying and said, Lord, thank you for the message tonight, and thank you for the foolishness of preaching. How foolish it's been tonight. It's not foolish preaching, of course. It is the foolishness of preaching that saves those that believe. David served God well. The accountability of it. David was ready for any call. In 1 Samuel 17:15, David went in return from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. In verse 17, and Jesse said unto David, take parched corn and 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. And verse 32 says, and David said to Saul, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And so no matter what the call was to David, whether it was to feed sheep or to find his brothers or fight a Philistine, David was ready for any call that came to him from God. I don't believe when David started out that morning and left that little flock of sheep that he had any intention or had any dreams about killing a giant that day. But he returned from the battle with the head of Goliath. And somebody says he went to battle with a slingshot and came back a big shot. David was ready for any call. He was ready at any cost. And David said to Saul, thy servant, we'll go and fight this Philistine. He rested on doing the will of God. Serving our generation does not mean avoiding the conflict. It does not mean avoiding the battle or shutting ourselves up in some monastery. But if God shall call us home, it is our responsibility to serve God faithfully in our generation. You can rest assured that if the Lord sends you into the battle, and that if he sends you the thickest part of the battle, he always takes the bleak side of the hill where the wind blows the coldest. If he bids you carry a cross, he always carries the heaviest end of that cross. James 4:6, he giveth more praise. His grace is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient for any conflict, for any battle. And he will never leave us and will never forsake us. The finality of serving God in our generation. For David, after he'd served his own generation with the will of God, fell on sleep. He served, he died for the will of God. God orders the death of his saints. as well as his as their life. David's body, of course, saw corruption, but not his soul. You know the breadth of his service. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong and show thyself a man. He said to Solomon. He served his generation even in his dying as he gave his last charges to his son Solomon. We owe our service to God, to those that are growing old. Learn from those valiant soldiers of the Lord Jesus that have blazed the trail before us. I love to visit with the older saints of God. Sometimes their minds wander and they get things all confused. But brother, the things of God are reality in their heart. One of our dear men not long ago, 90 years old, as a matter of fact, he'd been a prisoner of war, held hostage by the Japanese in the Philippines at Corregidor. And in the last months, he relived some of those awful scenes. And some days he wouldn't even know where he was at. One of the last times I went to visit him, he didn't recognize me when I first went in. The Lord saved him when he was 50 years old. And everybody in town knew when he got saved. I said, "Brother Atwell, do you remember the day the Lord saved you?" And his mind cleared up for a moment. And he said, "Oh, yes. I won't ever forget that day. Happy day. And what God has done in my heart is a reality. I may get some terrible disease, Brother Clifford, and not even know my name or where I'm at. But I don't think I'll ever forget that night God saved me. But if I do forget, it won't matter. The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this shield, the Lord, not them that are His. What God has done in my heart is eternal and can never be undone." And we ought to those valiant soldiers of the cross to be true. Winston Churchill said of the Royal Air Force in World War II, "Never have so many owed so much to so few." We owe our service to the youth. We need to ask God to let them see revival, to lead them, to pray for them, and lead them in the old paths. Now, to be honest, sometimes I do feel like a spiritual dinosaur. And I want to tell you, if you've ever heard a cannon roar, a pop gun don't mean much. If you've ever seen the glory and the power of God in revival, brother, you're ruined in a good way the rest of your lives. It's our responsibility to lead our young people in the ways of God. And then the length of service. With the exception of David's fall, he was faithful to the end. His family did not always remain true. For David said, "Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow." As far as the world's concerned, he fell asleep. But when the saint of God dies, their labors follow them, and they rest in the presence of the Lord. You know what we're going to do when we leave this earth? Those of us that are saved, those of us that have served God in our generation, we're going to do what we did on earth. We're going to keep on worshiping and serving God while the ages roll. David fell asleep by the will of God. Now our founding fathers served the future generations with great gifts, and especially the gift of liberty. And I want to tell you, the redeemed of the Lord who are serving Him even with something that is even more glorious. And that is the good news of eternal life and the blessed peace of God that God can give. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves! Jesus saves! Wept it on the rolling tides! Jesus saves! I don't have to tell you that there is an open attack on Christianity. But thank God, as Dr. Ray used to say, I have read the last chapter. And thank God when the battle is all over and the smoke is cleared away, the grand old church shall be safe at home with God. Serve God in your own generation. Short time ago, my dear pastor, 91 years old, went to be with the Lord. He came to be my pastor when I was 6 years old. The first revival I preached at the age of 12. He asked me to preach it. As a matter of fact, it was 49 years ago. This week, we started on a Sunday morning and went through the next Sunday night. He was one of the greatest prayer warriors I think I've ever met. But I go visit him often, especially those last days. And you never left his presence but what he wouldn't pray for you two or three times. And then on one of those occasions, he was sitting in his recliner and he pulled my head over on his chest and was praying for me. And he said, Lord, this is my boy. I'm going to have to leave him, but you take care of him. I went to see him at hospice just an hour or so before he went into unconsciousness. I was going to pray for him. But Brother Eddie was lying on the bed, and instead of me praying for him, he pulled my head down on his chest and said, Lord, this is my boy. You look after him. You take care of him till he meet at your feet. Thank God for those that have blazed the trail for us. Amen. David served God well. Amen. In his own generation. I know that I'll never amount to much. It looks like if I was going to amount it to something, I'd done it by now. But I do know that it's my business, my responsibility to serve God in my generation with all of my strength. David served God well in his own generation. And by the will of God, fell on sleep.